Good morning, I'm Robert. I'm an alcoholic. I pace, so forgive me. I'm also from New Jersey, so I talk really fast. So just try and keep up. Start at the beginning, right? But I don't. I want to start at the end. I want to start with thank you. Thank you guys for being here. I've started to understand in the 4 years I've been working on this what gratitude is. Something I never really understood. I understand it now in a different way. actually, I understand it for the first time in my life. So, thank you. There are a lot of people in this room and outside this room that I owe a deep, deep debt of gratitude for helping me get to where I am. So, begin at the beginning. I am 54 years old. I'm from New Jersey. I've had three careers. I was a chef. I was a political consultant, and now I do commercial real estate. I've loved all of them. They've been great, and every one of them taught me how to party a little bit better. I come from a family that was divorced. I was the first divorced family in my school as an elementary school child. My mother and father divorced when I was three. In 1973, I was 4 years old. My father ran off with his best friend's fiance a week after my grandfather died. That's the beginning of the fun. But I also grew up in a family that was a large Italian Catholic family on one side and a waspy mainline Philadelphia white bread family on the other. I joke and tell people it was a lot like The Godfather, a super loud Italian family and a really uptight mother who didn't do anything outside of whatever the square was. So there were a lot of big parties, and I was the kid who's drinking the leftover drinks the adults left. If you had scotch and water on the rocks, I drank what was left with my friends and my cousins as we ran around the house. That's probably 7 or 8 years old. By 14, I was drinking in earnest. There were some times in there that were good and some times that were bad. I learned that alcohol was kind of just a fun thing because I watched all these parties happen, right? My grandparents had 40, 50 people at a time on a Sunday dinner or for a cocktail party or whatever because they lived on the Jersey Shore. They rented a room in their big house to a jockey from Monmouth Park, right? So we had jockeys and we had track parties and there was always a reason to have a party. Shit, there was always a reason just to have a drink. By 14, my world was chaotic at best. There were a lot of things that had happened. My father was a great no-show, no-pay kind of guy who would come in for all the glory when he could, which makes the oldest boy in a family kind of a little insecure, to say the least. I sat and waited for him a number of times where he never showed up. That was really his MO. And when he did, he was an asshole. But at 14, things started to get fun. He moves back in with my mother, and all hell starts to break loose. So I drink more. That's when I start to drink in earnest. At 15, my father decided he was going to be the man of the house again. After about a year, he and I teed it up. He came at me with a barbecue fork. I took him out with a lacrosse stick. He was hammered. I got hammered. Shortly after that, he once again found somebody else's fiance to run off with. It worked out really well because I got to throw all of his clothes out in the middle of a hurricane with my mother and watch them land in the blue spruce trees on the side of our yard. It was quite a cathartic day. Then we went and drank. Everything ended up with drink. Everything. By 15, I knew I was a blackout drinker. One of the scariest things that ever happened to me in my life to this date was I was 15 years old and my friends left me at a party. I just remember them leaving. I don't remember the rest very much other than being put in a truck. I came to being sexually assaulted by a man in the back of a truck. I don't remember much of it. I don't remember much along the way. I've never said this out loud in a public room. There are about 6 people in the world who know that. I remember the guy who put me in the truck. I beat the shit out of him every time I saw him in the hallway in school. Because really, at the end of the day, alcohol was but a symptom. I hate that fucking line. Oh, by the way, this won't be an adult. This won't be a child show. This is an adult show. This is... But it is. Because I lived in rage. I lived in rage over everything. Everything caused me to want to hurt something, hurt someone, break something. That's what I did. Hell, it's what I was known for. Hey, go find the guy dancing with a pitcher of beer. He'll fight you. That's how it worked. So, 14, 15, 16, my mother has a stroke. Here I am by myself again, right? I can't figure it out. So what do you do when your mom has a stroke and she goes into the hospital and ICU and you don't have a driver's license? You steal her car. New Jersey, you can't drive till you're 17. So I stole her car and I went to the hospital every day. I did all of those things. I took care of the house. I took care of my little sister. Went grocery shopping. Learned to cook. Loved to cook. That's how I ended up in culinary school. But here goes one of my protectors, one of the people that took care of me, now a hot mess. My mom is a saint. She survived me and a stroke. She's still alive. They told her 6 months in rehab. She was out in 6 weeks. You know, that's so I learned to fight and survive from her. My father left her. She went to work for two jobs. She figured it all out because he didn't send a nickel. Left her a mortgage, a house, and two kids. So we figured it out. I learned how to kite checks when I was 9. For those of you not old enough, look up what kiting checks is. Online payments don't allow you that luxury anymore. About a year later, my grandmother, my father's mother who protected me from him all my life, died of cancer. My response to that was to throw a table through a door. A week later, my dogs died of parvo. I had a bad run as a stretch from 14 to 18, 19 years old. But I had the solution, right? I drank. Just drink more. And I did. And then anything else I could get my hands on. You know, when your mom has a stroke, there are a lot of pills they give her. Not only can you take them, you can sell them and make a lot of fucking money. I went to culinary school in Providence, Rhode Island. It's an interesting town. It's mostly bars and colleges. That was an interesting experience. I don't know how I never went to jail. I really don't. I didn't go to jail until I was the first time the 29. But yeah, I developed a reputation of being the guy on the dance floor with a pitcher of beer who'd fight anybody and hold on to his pitcher of beer. That's how I lived every day. Went to work in the casinos in Atlantic City. By the time I was 20, I had already celebrated my 21st birthday 2 or 3 times in those bars. I had my own personal pharmacist in the men's room. Jimmy was a great guy. I'd walk into the bar, they'd put a shot of chilled black Sambuca. Anybody remember that? One of the most disgusting fucking things in the world, right? I mean, I think I'd rather drink sewer water at this point in my life than a beer. And I'd get my shot and I'd have some of my beer and I'd head to the men's room every night. And I'd go clean up and I'd do 2 lines of coke and I'd go back to the bar. And if you've not been to a bar in Atlantic City, it's not like the casinos. It's worse. They have triple layered blackout curtains on all the windows. So when you start drinking at midnight, you don't know that 8 a.m. is there. You just don't know. Cause you walk out until you walk out in the sunlight and you're like, fuck me, not again. Not again, right? So that was my life for a long time. I bounced around. I was in Atlantic City, D.C., Boston, Virgin Islands. They sent me wherever. I had a good time. You know, when you're a chef, the beer is free. Had some fun in D.C. D.C. gives you 3 beers a shift for every cook as a union requirement. You can sell them. The Baptist women did for cab fare. I was 20, 21. I'm clearly white. And I had a staff of 9 in my restaurant that I was supposed to be responsible for, who were at least twice my age and not white. So it was an interesting cultural dump for a kid from New Jersey who'd been around a bunch, but never that. Knife fights. Watched a guy put his hand in a fryer. Watched a guy get his arm ripped off in a 40-gallon mixer because they were hammered. And guess what? You can't fire them. You just have to pay them while they're hurt. So that's what I learned, right? You could drink on the job, because everywhere I'd been, you drink on the job. You just did. So I start political. I get out of that because I'm going to have a family. I'm going to grow up. I get engaged to the beverage manager of the Hyatt Hotel. You see where that's going, right? There's some other fun secrets I can tell you about certain cities that'll do things. But regardless, we got married in Louisville, Kentucky. My good northern family rolled into Kentucky and thought they were funny rolling in overalls until they realized how much bourbon somebody from Kentucky can drink, because it puts the amount of vodka they were drinking to shame. So now they had to keep up. We were married for about 9 years. I have 2 daughters. It didn't work. Don't know why. I mean, what could possibly go wrong? So that marriage crashed and burned in the drunken stupor that it was. Don't get me wrong. I love my ex-wife. She is a good woman who did the best she could. I did the best I could. We were young and foolish. So how do you recover from that? Well, you go have sushi and drink sake all night. And you meet your second wife hammered at the bar. But you're going to get fit, right? Because I went to the gym every day and did a spin class. Had my smoothie afterwards, because at Lifetime they have that for you, right? As you walk out, you get your fancy smoothie. And then you go home and share a magnum of wine or two. Because that's healthy, right? Because you go to the gym. That made sense. Meanwhile, I'm political consulting, and I'm working with people, everything from White House folks down to school board. They have no idea I'm an alcoholic, because really what I am is a control freak with rage issues. And I'm micromanaging their lives. What tie to wear? Ever take a guy like Corey and put makeup on him? It'll work if they want to win bad enough. I won a lot. When you win a lot, you get to party more, and nobody questions you. Somebody should have questioned me at some point. One of my best friends growing up, his dad was the 911 dispatch head. He was a cop who got hurt on the job, so they put him in charge of 911. I never got in trouble for the things I did as a kid. I just got redirected. Probably one of the worst things that ever happened to me. Somebody needed to kick my ass way earlier in life. Someone finally did, and I'll tell you that in a minute. So I consult. I travel. People pay for my booze still. Because, you know, it's really great when someone else pays for your booze. But I'm still broke. I'm essentially homeless. What people didn't know in my $1,000 suits and my nice car was I didn't have anywhere to live. I was living on a friend's couch. I was living in a spare room. I was showering at the gym. It was a charade. I mean, I was good at what I did. I won, but it was a charade. I didn't have a life. I got to be 40 years old. I didn't own anything. I owned my car, sorta. It might have had a note at the note tote lot guy, right? Title pawn, maybe, or two. But I didn't see my life as unmanageable. And somebody, I mean, every now and again, someone would say, hey, maybe you ought to think about how much you drink. My response was, I quit pills. I quit cocaine. I quit tobacco. I'll quit alcohol when I'm ready. I probably said that for 15 years. There's an odd connection. I don't know what to make of it. I thought about it this morning as I was kind of thinking about this. From 14 to 18, I had a really shitty run, 14 years old to 18 years old, 19 years old. In 2014, my world falls apart again because me and my big mouth, I believe the system is a good system, and the cops ask me a question. Did you see what happened? And I answered them, and I was honest. Not honest enough, apparently. For those of you who live here, I was on the front page of all the local papers. I don't know. I think the count ended up being at 135 times with my mugshot. My sentence, I was convicted of three felonies. They were later dismissed, reduced, whatever, down to single misdemeanor. But part of the sentence was I couldn't do what I did for a living anymore. You can no longer be in politics. You can no longer be involved. You can no longer volunteer. You can't do anything. 20-year career. What the fuck am I going to do? In 2015, my now third wife, not to take her inventory, but loses her shit because the wheels come off because, oh, by the way, she's convicted with me. We do weekends alternating in the Cherokee County Jail. This is a humbling experience, to say the least. And yeah, I get it. Jail, guys are going to tell me they did 3 years at a time, and that's a bitch. Try having the fucking nerve to sit in the parking lot and turn yourself in every Friday. That makes you want to throw up. And then go through the intake every single time. I knew guards on an intimate level I never wanted to know. But I had a choice. And my choice was to drink more. So I did. To the point that I was passing out on the back deck at 3 a.m. My wife got to the point where she just left me there. She used to kick me and try and drag me inside and at least let me sleep on the floor. She got to the point where she was like, oh, fuck it, stay there. And then I got a bizarre phone call from my stepmother. I have two half-sisters. Your sister's around the corner from you in her 9th rehab. She was 9 when my father died. She's 29 today. I said, oh, great, Trish, where is she? She's in Augusta. I'm from New Jersey. She's from New Jersey. Everything's the size of New Jersey if you're from New Jersey. I'm like, Trish, that's like 2 hours away. So they moved her to Marietta. They put her in sober living on Windy Hill after her detox in Augusta. And I go see her and I take her shopping because this is a... To contrast my upbringing from my little sisters, I grew up single mom, all struggling to figure it out, learning to kite checks. My sisters grew up in a town called Rumson, down the street from Geraldo. My sister didn't know what it was like to not drive a BMW. She got here in her Victoria's Secret sweats, and that was it. So I had to take care of her. I'm her older brother. And I hadn't talked to her in 6 years except for her mouthing off at me on Facebook because she's the only one who had the balls to say anything to me. She got here and we went to work to help her and put her and get her set up. And, you know, I watched her start to get sober here in this room. She invited me to come the day she got her 30-day chip and I did. And it was pretty cool. I didn't understand it, but meanwhile, I'm on a parallel mission of finding God on my own, going to church and all of those things. And then she invites me to the 60-day, and I made some smart-ass comment, because you know, it's what older brothers do. And this girl, half my age, pokes me in the chest and says, "Who the fuck do you think you are? You think it skipped you? You think your life's in order?" I drove her home, dropped her off, didn't say a word, didn't talk to anybody for days. Then I went and saw another friend of mine, who I knew had been in the program for a while. Used to own restaurants, ran together, we played very, very hard. I said, "Explain it to me." He did. He said, "But better yet, it's Tuesday, let's go to a 6 o'clock meeting." And he brought me up here. And I said, "Great, cool." I walk in with him and he's like, "Hey, you want to go back there to the beginner's meeting?" I'm like, "Great." And he left. Fuck. That was 4 years ago. 4 years ago this month. Last month. Trib, last month? Last month. So 4 years ago last month, I came in here for the first time, finally admitting I was an alcoholic. Because I went to church. Many of you know I travel with my own personal priest. It's a great luxury. You should try it. I still don't get absolution, by the way. But I sit in the back and I do the beginner's meetings and I go through the process and I fuck it up. I do. I don't do the work. I'm scared of the work. You know, one of the things I'm grateful for? I've never been allowed to be scared in my life until I came in these rooms. Never. Scared wasn't an option. You weren't allowed. Right? I mean, this wasn't allowed to be scared. And I was petrified. But I came in here 4 years ago and I made a mess along the way and I've learned a lot. But a year ago yesterday, now let me sidetrack that. In the attempt to get sober along the way before I came in here, I did lots of crazy fun things. I did the Christian buffet, right? Any church I could find to see who was going to connect, all that stuff. And I'll tell you how I ended up with my own personal priest in a minute. But before that, I decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to be super fit. I had done a couple of, if you know what a triathlon is, I had done a couple little ones, sprints, which are pretty short and pretty quick, and you're done in about an hour and a half. Oh, fuck that. Let's just go for the whole thing. I'll do an Ironman. For those of you who don't know what that is, that's a 2.4-mile swim, 112 miles on your bike, and a marathon. You have 17 hours to do it. So I stuck a flag in the sand and said, you know what? I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do it in a year. And I'm not going to drink, and I'm going to fix my diet, and I'm going to do all of that stuff. I lost 100 pounds, didn't have a drink. But I was still an asshole. I was even more selfish than I normally was. I'd go train for 6 hours a day instead of sit in a bar. I finished and I was like, well, what next? What do I do now? Done that. Check the box. Done. Moving on. 12 hours and 57 minutes if you were wondering. So I called another old friend of mine who I found on LinkedIn. He was a cop. Another one who probably should have arrested me a number of times. Just had my car towed instead. Fucker. And I said, hey, listen, I want to talk to you. I grew up an Episcopalian, blah, blah, blah. Took him to lunch, told him the whole story. Wheels fell off, blah, 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 blah. He said, you don't want to go to my church. My church is about, the average age is about 80. It's in Rockmart. It's over an hour away. But there's this young guy who's a political refugee like you. 6'5", red hair. You'll find him at the bar at Gustin's at lunch. I didn't go to the bar at lunch to find a drunk priest. I'd grown up with those. I didn't need another one of those. But I did decide to go to his church. And I filled out the card that said, hey, I want to go get coffee with you, blah, 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 whatever. And so we did. We went and got coffee. And we started to talk, and I was reading some political policy book, which I'm still addicted to, and I try not to pay attention to. And we start talking about that. We start talking about politics. Next thing I know, in the world is completely fucked. He worked for me when he was 16 years old. In North Carolina on a governor's race, if I recall.
Congressional?
Okay. I'm old. He's not. I forget. He remembers. It's okay. He's taking my inventory for God, I think. I don't know. So anyway, we start to have a conversation. And so I'm going to church regularly and I dive into church and I'm going to be the best church member I can be because I'm not a fucking alcoholic. I'm not one of you. And I finally said to him, this isn't working. Here we go again. Somebody else said, hey, we got an AA meeting here on Saturday mornings. There were four people in that meeting. That was my third meeting, I think. So now I've got three people who've told me I need to be in AA, essentially, as an adult. Now, don't get me wrong. My mother started telling me when I was about 16, hey, you might want to think about this, because my mom, being the good waspy woman she is, would never just say, hey, you're a fucking drunk. Get your shit together. Right? She's got to be all loving and kind and quiet and whatever. So back to a year ago yesterday. I was training for another Ironman. I was starting to get my life back in order again. I was going to do it sober. I was going to do it right. I wasn't going to be addicted to the gym. I was going to have a plan. I was going to do all those things. Everything was on track until it wasn't. My heart rate was going crazy. My health was... I'm physically in good shape. I'm my everything else is, but my heart rate's just going through the roof. So I go to the doctor. He sends me for tests. I'm in the 99th percentile for blockage in my heart. What the fuck are you talking about? I've been good. I haven't had a drink. I'm on the verge of 3 years. I had a meeting that night with a client at a bar. Had done it dozens of times. No big deal. And I was fine for the first 90 minutes. But all of a sudden a bourbon sounded good and I didn't do what I used to do and I knew to do. And we can blame the pandemic, we can blame fear, I didn't do it. I didn't pick up the phone and call, I didn't walk out the door, I didn't catch my breath, I didn't pause. I drank. And I drank hard. And 2 hours later, I went home and I picked up my wife hammered and said, we're going to dinner. And we went to dinner and their dinner was packed. So I said, oh look, there's seats at the bar. And so I sat at the bar and I ordered a bottle of red wine. She didn't drink any. It was empty when we left. Thank God she took my keys. I crawled in here the next morning because I saw the look in her eyes when I woke up. I can deal with angry. I had people angry at me all the time. Fuck, I worked in politics. Anger is easy to handle. But fear? So then I went back to work and I got a new sponsor and I started working again and actually diligently got into this. This program, I started to actually do the work, do a real fourth step and fifth. Fuck, what a relief. That's not my responsibility. I don't have to carry all these fucking bags I've been carrying around. Are you serious? How come nobody told me? They probably did. I probably wasn't listening. I was probably drunk. So for a year, we went through the health thing for me and all of that fun stuff and worked. And my life has gotten amazingly good. I've started another career. It's exploding. Good timing, luck, I don't give a fuck what you call it. God, doesn't matter. It is. I'll take it. I'm grateful for it. My marriage used to be violent and loud and destructive. One of the reasons I travel with a priest is because I have a wife, and if some of you have heard this the other day, who is an artist at catastrophication. She can take the smallest issue and turn it into the end of the world. I'm not good with that. It makes me a little edgy. And I have rage issues. So, we were not necessarily a good combination all the time. But this year was great. It's the first year I started to really understand and enjoy being happy and feeling like I deserved it. Because I didn't deserve it, right? I don't know why I was sexually assaulted. Maybe I said something. Maybe I did something. I don't know. But I never told a soul because I'm a blackout drunk. I don't know what I said or did. So how can I not have some responsibility in that? My father left when I was a little kid. Okay, I wasn't responsible for that. But he left again when I was a teenager. And I, you know, took him out with a lacrosse stick. How am I not responsible for that? I don't get to be happy. I don't have that luxury. That's what I used to believe. I used to believe that God, I was the cautionary tale God created for you. Don't be me. That changed this year. My mother has something called idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. Essentially, she's going to have fibers grow in her lungs until she drowns. Her response? Fuck it. I've lived a good life. I'm going to keep living. I'm not going to worry about it. They gave me some stupid pill. I'll take it when I want to. Cool. We rolled through that okay. I went to a wedding of my little sister who I have really no relationship with, but we've started to build one. Not the one in rehab, but her older sister in a town called Red Bank, and it was ridiculous. I haven't been to a ridiculous wedding in a long time. You know, well, people quit inviting me to weddings, you know, when you... fucking shock, right? Hey, who here has friends that created like a pile of things you could break on a Saturday night when they knew Robert was coming over? I did. They're like, we like having you here until late in the night because then you start breaking shit. So the stuff you want to break is over there. But this year has been different. It's been a year where I've gotten to feel those things and experience those things and remember those things. But you know, they say don't get too high and don't get too low. And I started to get a little bit high, I think, a couple weeks ago, a month ago. Things were going really well. The company's growing. Business is good. Everything's going. I actually have money in the bank and a house I fucking live in and don't have a note on my truck. What the hell's going on in my world, right? Like, life is good. My wife gets a mammogram about, 3 weeks ago now. They say, hey, you need to follow up with an ultrasound. She says, I'm going out of town. They said, well, can you do it before you leave down in Jonesboro? She's going to be gone for 5 days. They do the ultrasound, and I assume, like everything else, they'll read it tomorrow. No, they read it right there and said, oh, you've got a lump. You need to have a procedure and blah, blah, blah. We're going to do it now. So they do the procedure. And they tell her, you know, hey, what, they do a biopsy and all that stuff. They say, okay, great. Now, I can't see her because she's on the road for 5 days by herself on a business trip. She gets back. We wait the requisite 5 days because they say 3 to 5 for results. We wait the requisite 5 days because it can't be 3. And it's after 5 o'clock. She's actually in her car alone again on the way to yoga on Monday night. And they say, hey, we've got some bad news. It's cancer. But hey, we'll get back to you in 7 days to let you know what it's going to be. Remember, my wife is an artist at catastrophication. In the past, we would have brawled over this. We fought about her hysterectomy. We fought about her depression. We fought about my depression. We fought about all of it. Right? Because I was trying to just make her calm down and she just wanted to spin and catastrophize. I think I may have mentioned when my grandmother died of cancer, I threw a table through a window. Because that's my initial response to pretty much everything. Or it was. If you don't believe in miracles, hear this. I sat there when she walked in the door. I put my arms around her. She cried for about 5 minutes. We sat, and all I did was listen. No fighting, no yelling, no anger, just empathy and care. Things I didn't understand because I wasn't sober. And if I wasn't drunk, I was hungover. And who here is good at hangovers? Because I wasn't. And it dawned on me the other day in a meeting. There has been a shift in my world I don't understand. Now, there's a whole other subject I haven't gotten into that I do want to touch on because I need to say it publicly. So I'm going to go back to 2014 to 2019. You know, when you're an angry drunk, your ex-wife doesn't want to talk to you and your kids pretty much get a little bit alienated. I haven't spoken to my youngest child since 2014. That's my own doing. And I work on that every day. That's kind of rough. My eldest child, who is 23, was afraid to tell me. At 12, stopped growing. They put her on growth hormones. At 15, was afraid to tell me she wanted to be a he. I found out the day before she went for surgery to become a boy. No one called me till after. I was pissed. It took 2 years for me to be able to have an honest conversation with him. Because I sat and took my ex-wife's inventory for what a fucking bitch she is for not calling me and letting me be part of this decision. Politics aside, all of the cultural argument aside, it's my child. I wanted to be part of that. But you know what? I lost that right. I drank it away. I raged it away. Today he and I speak frequently. Well, I say speak. 23 years old. We text. Sometimes I get an Instagram message. That's also how I find out most of what's going on in his life. He has a lovely girlfriend. They have a nice apartment. They're doing their thing. We don't have to agree. What the fuck? We don't have to agree. I didn't even know that was an option. Like, I thought we all had to agree. In fact, if you didn't agree with me, you were just a dumbass. So the last year has been an amazing trip for me. I have been able to handle the good and the bad and the crazy. There's still a lot of crazy. Did I mention I travel with a priest? A lot of crazy. Sometimes it's from the priest, though. So in all fairness, sometimes it's from the priest. With a bit of calm. Calm I never knew. I put this here because I thought I would sit. Because I sit now. I don't sit. I never used to sit still. I put it here. I thought maybe I'll sit still today. I still don't sit still. I still pace. I still twitch. I still tap. Tap in church. Tap your ring in church. But this program has given me all of those gifts and more. The ability to have a conversation, not with my ex-wife, that still hasn't happened. Well, with one of them it did. She called me before she got married again, and we had a very long conversation. It actually worked out really well. But the mother of my children, we've not spoken. She won't take my calls, and I don't blame her. The last time I called her, it was not pleasant. Probably should be in jail for terroristic threats. But there are a lot of people I can talk to now about a lot of different things I don't agree on. My son. Business partners. People in general. It's been, I think I mentioned this, step 4 or 5, everything came off, I felt light. But what's really been amazing is putting down the shell. Putting down the facade, not having to worry about it, coming in jeans and a sweatshirt, that's never would have happened in my life. I would have had you convinced that my life was perfect, in a perfect suit, with a perfect tie, and very shiny shoes. Shoes are important. Right, Jackie?
Yes, sir.
See? My wife's still mad at me, though. I still have like 70 pairs of shoes in my closet. Don't judge. can we get rid of these now? No. I might need them. I still have a few safety blankets, right? But putting that facade down has been amazing. It's been amazing. I don't have to be anybody but me. And I get to explore who the fuck that is by being in these rooms. Because I never really knew. Because it was always a show. Who do you want me to be today? Who do we have to impress today? Oh, look, a TV camera. I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to fight anymore. I get to laugh and actually mean it. I get to have an honest conversation and not have to worry about, wait, what did I say? Except with my priest. I don't do confession. This is as close as you're going to get. So I just lie to him.
Experience most of it,
don't worry. Yeah, he has. Hard to lie to him when he travels with you. And I'll wrap this up. I could not be more grateful for anything in my life. Something I was deathly afraid of and swore I would never be is one of the greatest gifts I've ever been given. And it was brought to me by a bratty little girl from New Jersey who finally had the balls to poke me in the chest and say, "Wake the fuck up." That doesn't make me woke, just for clarity. I am eternally grateful. I cannot imagine a life a different way. I would like to tell you I would change a lot of the things that earned me this chair, but I wouldn't. Because those things have enabled me to help others feel okay in this room or other rooms or in my car for 4 hours on the way to Statesboro. Because you guys are here every day and tell me and show me and explain to me and put up with me so that I have a chance just for one more day of having the gift of sobriety. Thanks for being here this morning.